This episode is recorded on Dja Dja Wurrung country, and we want to pay our respects to the original creatives of this land and their elders past, present and future.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Country Creatives. You notice that I'm talking really fast, and that's because this is a short episode and we're trying to jam-pack a lot of value in here. My name is Reese, and I'm sitting across from...
Caleb.
Hey, mate, how you doing?
Good, going really well. Let's get cracking into this topic, which is...
being a reliable creative, because cool. There is an expectation out there, potentially,
A misunderstanding, a perception.
I think that's what I was going for, a misconception, that creatives are hard to deal with and they can be unreliable, which isn't always untrue.
No.
But it isn't always true either.
No. The sad fact is that with the best of intentions, lots of creatives are unreliable and they are hard to work with.
Yeah, and we've got, this is not an exhaustive list, but there are three or four clear things that you could potentially do to break that misconception.
Yeah.
The stereotype.
Yes.
That creatives are unreliable and unorganized. So let's just jump straight in. What's the first dot point that we've got?
It is to record your existing process so that you can communicate it to potential clients and so that it's not all stuck in your head.
Yeah, totally. So it doesn't have to be a crazy exhaustive list of this is exactly how I do it, but just like a basic step of this is how I want to run a project or this is how I do run a project.
Yeah. The benefit here is that it's not held in your head because there's too much going on in your head. I've heard it put really well that your brain and your mind is a great place to have an idea, but it's a terrible place to store it.
Mm.
So if you can make sure that you get as much out of your head that doesn't need to be in there, so it leaves room for the creative genius that needs to happen in your doing of your creative thing, then that's going to serve you much better and it's going to take a big step towards you being more reliable.
Yeah, totally. And just off the top of my head, the couple of steps that you could put in there straight away is pre-project. What do I do to get a job? What do I do at the start of a job? How do I finish a job? And what do I do after a job?
Great.
There's more steps to that. And I know my process has more steps than that. But if you haven't got it written down, just start with that.
Yep. And one level deeper, like how do you actually do your creative thing? Spend some time. It's not just going to come to you instantly, but spend some time going, what is my process for coming up with an idea? Do I need to listen to music and go for a walk at 9:30 p.m. at night? How do you work best? It doesn't have to be a really rigid, corporatized kind of structure of things, but just try and record, like, how do you work best and try and get it down on paper?
Yeah, totally. All right. So the next one up there is using a project management system so that everything's not kept in your head.
Oh, that's another great one. Project management systems and project management is a big area that creatives fall over in terms of their reliability. It's a massive risk to being the unreliable creative because we've all got experience of having too many things on that you forget something.
Mm.
That has happened to me many times before I implemented project management.
Yeah, and project management itself, I think we're going to do an episode that dives a bit deeper on that, but it doesn't have to be like overcomplicating it is a way to completely never use it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just listing the jobs and the deadlines on a spreadsheet, you know?
If we're talking project management, it can literally be sticky notes on a whiteboard. That can be a project management tool. We're not trying to force you into, like you say, something really complicated and that takes a lot of time to manage. It is all about making sure you don't miss anything, making sure you don't miss any expectations that you've set, making sure you can back up your word and be reliable.
Yeah, it's usually you've made a commitment to do a thing, to deliver a thing, to be somewhere at a certain time. How are you keeping track of that? And a great way to start is to just use your calendar a bit more efficiently, pull your deadlines into your calendar and block out time to work on things so that you can make those deadlines.
Yeah, time blocking's a legendary one. But project management, we are going to dive deep into that in its own episode because it does warrant that. There's so many different tools and methodologies. But please make sure that you're not trying to keep all of the projects that you've got going on at one time in your head and where each of them is. Because the fact of the matter is that as you get more successful and you get more widely known, you will get more jobs. And you don't want to be the person that can't handle the success and the demand.
That's such a tricky thing, isn't it? Becoming good at something, you become in demand, and then it's like, oh shit, I can't even deliver on these things. There's too much going on. That's a whole other challenge. But at least you need to be able to identify that.
Yeah.
And a
project management tool is going to be able to help you do that.
All right. The other thing that you come up with this one, mate, and I thought it was quite good, is having an understanding of the times that you do different tasks and a discipline of sticking to that. So tell me more.
Discipline. Man, it is an underrated word in our society of comfort and convenience. Discipline often gets thrown out with as the baby in the bathwater. Discipline, man. The idea is that you commit to doing regular things at certain times and you continue to do them. You continue the habit and you form a habit and you have a discipline of being reliable, doing certain things at certain times. Making sure, the example I've got here is what we've called a default diary, and it's pretty much time blocking that we said in one of the earlier points just before, but having a structure of when you do certain things, and it doesn't always have to be things on the business. So if you work out that you're a bit of a morning person and your day goes really well if you've gotten up early, a discipline is making sure that you're not going to bed or to sleep past 10 p.m. or whatever and waking up at 5 a.m. That's never going to be comfortable. But if you know that's how you perform best, then put some structure in place to make sure that you do it. And by doing that, you will be more reliable. You will reduce the amount of blowout days where you're just not feeling it.
Yeah, set yourself up to win. Another one that I like to think about and I like to try and implement is knowing, when am I available to take calls? When is my phone on loud? And when is it on silent? Or when is it in the cupboard? And I need to get to a thing and I don't want the distraction. But like when you pick up your phone again, in that example, I'm going to have to get back to people. I'm going to text them back. Hey, can I schedule a chat with you? Sorry, I was unavailable. I was busy on a project. It doesn't mean become unreachable.
Yeah.
It means become reachable when it's convenient to you.
The phone is a big one in terms of discipline. We all know what doom scrolling feels and looks like. And if you're feeling a little bit aimless, or many people are just flat addicted to their phone, that will steal your life away. And it'll interrupt time where you're procrastinating and you just lose hours of time just doing something random on your phone. So creating a discipline, it's not all or nothing. I'll never use it or I can use it whenever I want. It's like these are the times where I do certain tasks. I'm focusing on sales. For example, in my world is that I've got 10:30 till 12 blocked out every day to focus on sales tasks. So that just gives me a refined focus for that amount of time. And it just enables me to go, I'm not going to just pick up my phone and see what's going on LinkedIn. I am focusing on sales tasks and I have a list of what they are.
Which includes LinkedIn.
Yeah, funnily enough, that was a bad example.
I recently just picked up on this again. So there's a way of categorizing your tasks that is so obvious, and I've been through this before but recently picked it back up again. So you have to place them across the top. So there's four boxes. Yep. Across the top are two categories, important, not important.
Yep.
Running down the side is urgent and not urgent.
Yep.
So is it urgent and important? They're the things that you're going to need to focus on straight away.
Yep.
Is it not urgent and not important?
Yeah, don't spend your time right now on those things, like exactly. Until you've got the other things sorted.
Exactly. And so if you put all of your tasks into one of those four boxes, it really quickly and clearly gives you an idea of what the hell you got to focus on.
Yep.
And I think like the phone call disruptions, like other people's disruptions into your workflow, they don't fall into important and urgent.
Yeah, that's a big one. Don't let someone else's urgent become your important. That's a good line I was told early in business, is that people will come to you and they can convey to you that what they need from you is really important to them, but that doesn't mean it has to be important to you. Don't get railroaded. This is a struggle for me because I really like being helpful and it's really motivating when I've been helpful. But that can come at a detriment to my business, right? Mm. If I need to be doing something else, then I need to say, I hear you, I'd love to help. I can't do it now. I will do it later.
Yeah, perfect. And just to sum up, there are our three main points. Yep. But I think just in summary, the reason why I think creatives have that kind of unreliable or potentially hard to work with, there's a bunch of stuff that plays into that.
Yeah.
But I think if you can free yourself up and relieve some of the pressure that these admin kind of tasks, these the things that we struggle with as creative people, if we can put some systems in place.
Yeah, it frees you up. Don't look at systems and processes as the enemy and, oh, I'm creative, I don't do those kind of things. You're kidding yourself. If you do these type of things, you will be able to be more creative more consistently and you won't have all of this conflict happening with letting people down or missing what you've said you were going to do. Like, it sets you up to be a better creative. It doesn't make you into a robot. I don't know what the apprehensions of implementing systems and processes are, but they don't exist.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the mystique of a creative of like, they just disappear and you don't hear from them and they're running late on a task and you can't get in touch. I think like people don't care if something's running late. Like, sometimes a timeline can be shifted because it's not urgent and important. It's important, but it's not urgent. But disappearing and not being in contact is the big red flag.
Whoa, like, it's bad.
Tell me that you're struggling with it, or if I say, hey, I'm struggling with this concept because it's really challenging and I want to get it right and I need a bit more time, like the client understands that.
100%, and they'll respect you for it being in communication, because that is the biggest, most important thing. If you just disappear or you know something's going to run late and you don't tell them, that's on you. You've got the opportunity to just say, because that gives them the opportunity as much time as possible for them to shift their own priorities or what they've planned in the background to fit in with what you said you were going to be able to do.
Yeah, perfect. So we'll raise the bar together.
Come on, let's do it. I don't think any creative really wants to be unreliable. We all want to be able to be trusted and to be able to do more of our creative work. And the way that we do that is by setting ourselves up to succeed. And often what we can do is a lot of what we've talked about, right? It puts some systems and processes in to fill the gaps in our own weaknesses in how we operate. Just let's confront them and sort them out.
Yeah, totally. And you can't identify where those weaknesses are until you start to work on what the overall picture looks like. So just get stuck in there, get started on it. And
you can do it.
Yeah, reach out for help too.
Yep, we're here. We'd love to hear what your challenges are and help out.
All right. There's a nice short episode for everyone. Hope you enjoyed. Talk to you next time.
Woohoo!
Hey, thanks for listening into Country Creatives Podcast this week. You've been listening to Caleb Maxwell and Reese Handy. My name's Amy. I produce the show and we get some great support from Emporium Creative Hub in Mitchell Street, Bendigo. You can visit all of the past episodes and show notes and contact us with any tidbits, comments, suggestions for guests, anything else you'd like to pass on by visiting emporiumcreativehub.com.au/podcast. Stay well, and we'll see you for the next episode in a couple of weeks' time.